Hello and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the classical music series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2020 season. Now, the program notes I'm reading today are for the concert by the North Carolina Symphony at 12 noon, Friday, March 13th at Maimonde Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. The performance will be conducted by musical director Grant Llewellyn. The program on this special noon performance is as follows. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform the Roman Carnival Overture, Opus 9, by Hector Berlioz. That will be followed by music by Albert Roussel, the Suite No. 2 from Bacchus and Ariadne, Opus 43. And for the finale, the great work by George Gershwin and American in Paris. Now I'll begin our reading of the symphony notes. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform the Roman Carnival Overture, Opus 9, by Hector Berlioz. Berlioz was born December 11, 1803, in La Côte Saint-André, and he died March 8, 1869, in Paris. The work was composed in 1843, and the first performance was February 3, 1844, at the Salières in Paris. Now here's the story. Hector Berlioz was a gifted and innovative orchestrator. He freed the brass from its role as mere accompaniment, making it the equal of the other orchestral sections. He experimented with new instruments such as the bass clarinet and the valve trumpet. And he virtually put the English horn on the map as the solo instrument par excellence for conveying musical melancholy. He was equally innovative in musical form and in stretching the limits of classical tonal harmony. But one of Berlioz's great fiascos was his opera Benvenuto Cellini. A brilliant musical score could not hide an impossible libretto with fatal dramatic flaws. The premiere at the Paris Opera in 1838 survived for just three performances, and an attempt at a revival a few years later failed as well. Only its lively overture using themes from the opera has survived in the repertoire. Well, never one to waste good music, 6 years later Berlioz took two of the most fetching musical segments of Act One of that opera and fashioned from them the Roman Carnival Overture. Originally meant as the introduction to the opera's second act, in contrast to the opera, the premiere of the overture under the composer's baton was an instant success and had to be encored. Now here's some listening tips. This overture is an orchestral showpiece beloved by orchestra players, especially the brass. Berlioz took the gentle love duet between Benvenuto Cellini and Teresa, here played by the English horn, and pitted it against the irresistible choral carnival scene with its saltarello dance rhythm. The dance becomes wilder and wilder as the overture progresses. Only in the last few bars, with brilliant and unpredictable brass, did Berlioz digress significantly from the opera theme. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two flutes, one doubling piccolo, two oboes, one doubling the English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, two cornets, three trombones, timpani, percussion, and strings. Next, the symphony will perform the Suite No. 2 from Bacchus and Ariadne, Opus 43, by Albert Roussel. Roussel was born April 5, 1869, in Tourcoing, France, and he died August 23, 1937, in Royan, France. The work was composed in 1931, the first performance of Suite No. 2, February 2, 1934, at the Salle Pleyel. Pierre Monteau was the conductor. Now here's the story. While many composers owed their careers to the early support and teaching of a close family member, Albert Roussel was orphaned by the age of 10 and continually shifted to the care of other family members. Born into a wealthy family of manufacturers of home decorating textiles, he showed early musical talent but also loved the sea, finally deciding on a naval career. He graduated in 1889 and served the Navy for 5 years, mostly in North Africa and Indochina. While on shipboard, he wrote his first composition, Fantasy for Violin and Piano, and some short pieces reflecting an interest in Indian music that remained with him throughout his career. In 1894, he resigned his commission in order to pursue his interest in music, a career change enabled by his inherited wealth. A student of Vincent Dindy, he took over his teacher's counterpoint classes from 1902 to 1914, where he taught future composers as divergent as Erik Satie and Edgar Varese. World War I interrupted the composition of two of his major works, the ballet Le Festin d'Aranier, The Spider's Banquet, and the opera Padmavati, based on a Hindu legend. With the end of the war, he began to modernize his style, producing a variety of orchestral, operatic, ballet, and chamber works that brought him international recognition. The ballet Bacchus and Ariadne, composed in 1930, tells the story of Theseus landing on Naxos after rescuing Ariadne from the Minotaur of the Labyrinth. The god Bacchus appears and abducts the sleeping Ariadne, beginning a passionate dance around her sleeping body. When she awakens alone, she sees Theseus departing ship and, in panic, flings herself into the sea, but lands in the arms of Bacchus instead. He kisses her, and the whole island around them is transformed. In the end, Bacchus leads her to the top of the mountain, crowning her with stars. Now here's some listening tips. Roussel extracted two orchestral suites from the ballet, each encompassing the music of one of the two acts. Suite number 2 opens with a viola solo portraying Ariadne's awakening, followed by Bacchus's dance, the dramatic kiss, and pas de deux. It concludes with the expected bacchanal and Ariadne's coronation. The suite progresses without pause, so it is important to use your imagination to follow the trajectory of the story. Note, however, that the sections involving the god are always, well, Bacchic. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: for two flutes, one doubling the piccolo. The piccolo, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, bass clarinet, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, four trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, celesta, two harps, and strings. And the final work on this 12 noon concert by the North Carolina Symphony, An American in Paris, by George Gershwin. Gershwin was born September 26, 1898, in Brooklyn. He died July 11, 1937, in Los Angeles. The work was composed in 1928, and the first performance was December 13, 1928, by the New York Philharmonic at Carnegie Hall. Walter Damrosch was the conductor. Now here's the story. Gershwin composed An American in Paris in 1928 on a commission from the Philharmonic Symphony Society of New York. It is a jazz-based tone poem inspired by the composer's trip to France, where he attempted to study with, among others, Maurice Ravel and Igor Stravinsky. Both declined, with Ravel saying, "Why be a second-rate Ravel when you are a first-rate Gershwin?" An American in Paris has had a strong influence on a certain type of American music. Leonard Bernstein's musical On the Town is an expanded version chronicling a day in the lives of two American sailors on leave in New York during World War II. Gershwin's hustle-bustle evocation of busy Parisian life has been used so often in film scores, TV, and advertising that it has become iconic city music. Now here's some listening tips. The work captures the sound and spirit of post-World War I Paris, where such American bohemians as F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway and their fictional characters went to lose and rediscover themselves. According to the composer, the piece is really a rhapsodic ballet written very freely to portray the impressions of an American visitor as he strolls around the city. The individual listener can read into the music such episodes as his imagination pictures for him. For the program book at the premiere, with Gershwin's approval, composer Deems Taylor wrote a different scenario involving a detailed description of the tourist day adrift in the City of Light, proving that the music came first, the explanation later. One of the work's best-known effects is its taxi horn blows. To add authenticity to the sound, Gershwin purchased Parisian taxi horns for the New York premiere. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: three flutes, one doubling the piccolo, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, bass clarinet, alto saxophone, tenor saxophone, baritone saxophone, two bassoons, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, celesta, and strings. These program notes were copyrighted and written by in 2020 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for Your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2020 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.